August 23rd, 2001. First, they fucked. Larry had heard her say talk in Ayer's parking lot, but he knew what was coming. She wasn't through the door 30 seconds before they were together, and he couldn't say who had moved first. There was no logic to resisting. Nothing was going to get any better or worse. Afterwards, they lay on the rug, naked and silent, for quite some time. "Wow," said Muriel finally. "Home run. Grand slam." He repeated her words, then went off to the kitchen to get a beer for each of them. When he returned, he took a seat on a stepladder one of the painters had been using. "So," he said, "I take it this is au revoir. You think that's what I came here to say?" "Isn't it?"
"Not exactly."
"Okay. So tell me." Nude, she sat up with her hands behind her. "Larry, I've done a lot of thinking. I want things that run smack into each other."
"Such as?"
"Am I running for PA?" "You're running. What's next on the checklist?"
"You're right. I'd like to make this campaign. But I'm not sure that the windup on this case is going to permit that. Either way, though, I'm not walking out on Talmadge today. For the right reasons and the wrong ones, too. I can't win without him. That's the brutal truth. But Larry, he also deserves better than that from me. I need to look him in the eye and tell him this marriage hasn't gone very well. I've never done that, but I'm going to work that through with him, not with you, wherever that leads, which, best guess, is probably out the door."
She was asking him to stand by, he realized suddenly. She was telling him they might still have a chance.
"And so, what am I supposed to do? I told you I can't live in between. And I'm not proposing a life of secret passion. For both our sakes, this better stop. I'm just letting you know what I'm thinking. But I haven't paid my subscription to the psychic hotline. Who knows what happens? You said 10 years ago you were getting out of your marriage, and you've still got the same address.
Different situation.
You get the point."
He did. "But look, I have to say one more thing. What happened with this case, Gandalf? What was disclosed and what wasn't? A lot of that's my fault. I see that now. And speaking of the case, you ready for today's humor?
I could use some right now."
She told him what Ayers had said about Gillian copping on the street.
"No way," said Larry. "Gillian tooted? Smoked H?
Apparently."
"God, these people are hypocrites," Larry said.
"The feds?
Arthur.
Maybe Gillian never told him."
"Great. Is this something else we have to disclose to him?"
"I don't think so," Muriel laughed. "I think a court would find that Arthur had ample opportunity to plunge into that body of information." She offered a naughty smile, then abruptly took hold of her chin. He could see her mind had gone elsewhere.
"New idea?" he asked.
"Maybe.
Something to consider for this case. Let me think it through.
And where's this case going? What's the view from the top today?" She took a second, then asked what he'd thought about Collins' interview.
"Memorable performance," Larry said, "just like his uncle's. But my big one is still the same. I don't buy that Rami had nothing to do with it. Maybe Erno and Squirrel confronted Louisa and Collins together, but Collins is just finishing the job his uncle started, taking Rami out because he dummied up for them. You really see Rami as a stand-up guy, Larry? He couldn't even stand up for himself. Besides, there's just no evidence to back that."
Larry had an idea, however. He had half a dozen cadets on standby for tomorrow. He wanted a search warrant that would allow them to dig under Erno's tool shed in hopes of finding everything taken from the victims at Paradise on the night of the murders. Collins said Erno had recently flirted with having the apron dug up to confirm his testimony, but had realized Collins' prints were likely to be found on several items. Larry suspected that Erno was also hiding Squirrel's prints, or DNA. "You'll have the warrant by 10 a.m., and I'll be rooting for you, Larry, believe me. But if we don't find some speck that ties to Squirrel, it's going to be one more biggie on their side. All the forensics back Erno and Collins now. If that stuff is there, like Collins said, and only his prints and Erno's are on it, we'll be toast. And we can't try this case again. Because of Collins? Collins has told two different stories, blaming and saving the same guy. He's a dope peddler and a fraud by his own account. He can praise Jesus all he likes. The jury will still hold its nose when he gets on the stand. My problem is how we get the cameo into evidence. How about I testify? No chance, Larry. I've never put somebody on the stand knowing he was going to commit perjury, and I'm not going to start now. Perjury? That's what they call it, Larry, when you make up stuff under oath, and I'm not going to let you testify you found that cameo in Squirrel's pocket when you didn't. Larry hated this stuff, the law, and Muriel when she was its mouthpiece. He squeezed his arms around his knees and asked whether they could make a deal with Gandalf for a long prison term. That's the best option, she said. But Arthur thinks he has an innocent client. Crusader's probably going to hang tough and take him to trial. What happens then? She didn't answer. Larry, suddenly on all fours, gripped her arm. I don't want to hear about time served, Muriel, or anything like that. I don't want to have to look at this guy on the street. I'd rather take my chances in court, lose my pension, obstruction, whatever. This is me to you, Muriel. I mean it. Promise me you'll stand in there. Larry, promise me. Damn it! I'm trying to save you, Larry. Is that what you call it? He asked as he grabbed his clothes. But he'd suddenly lost her attention. She was far off again. It took him a second to realize that she thought she'd found the way to do that.